John chapter 6. You also may want to keep a mark in Matthew 14, Mark chapter 6, and Luke chapter 9. These are the other gospel writers' account of what we want to read this evening, and we'll be going to those chapters quite a bit. I'd like to read the first 13 verses of John chapter 6. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him. The reason was because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient or adequate for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. This, of course, is John's account of the miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Matthew tells us in Matthew 14 and 21, they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So in reality, there was probably over 10,000 people that were fed on this occasion. 5,000 men, and then in addition to that were women and children. Now, these individuals had left the cities and had come to this place. We notice in Matthew 14 and verse 13, we read, When the people had heard thereof, that is, that Jesus and the disciples went into the desert, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And John tells us in verses 2 and 3 of John chapter 6 that they did this because the reason they followed him was because of the miracles that he had done. Later in John chapter 6, Jesus rebukes them for this. But we want to, there's much here in this miracle. In fact, one time we preached I think 8 or 9 week series just on this miracle. There's much here. But our intention tonight is not to look at so much the details of the miracle. We just want to look at one thing. We want to use this as an illustration, as an application of the receiving and the feeding upon the preached Word of God. We want to center our main thoughts on verses 12 and verse 13, when Jesus said, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And they gathered up 12 basketfuls. I want to speak tonight on basketfuls of leftovers. Basketfuls of leftovers. We see the timing of the miracle, according to Matthew 14, was Immediately after the death and burial of John the Baptist, after the disciples had buried John the Baptist, they went and they told Jesus. It was at that time that Jesus and the apostles went into this desert place. So it was a time of emotional need for the apostles. We see that the place of the miracle is a desert place. We see that in Matthew 14 and verse 13, Mark 6 verse 32, and also Luke 9 verse 10. Jesus and the apostles went apart, that is from the cities, into this desert place. And the apostles would later acknowledge that it was a desert place, and this acknowledgement caused some sense of desperation on their part. Notice in Matthew 14 and verse 15, Matthew 14, verse 15. Notice their acknowledgement. This is a desert place. And then we see their sense of desperation, and the time is now past, that is, to eat. This is a desert place. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, Mark chapter 6 and verse 35, they said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past." And then notice in Luke chapter 9 and verse 12. They said, "Send the multitude away that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place." So we see it was a time of need. And they were in a place where the need could not be fulfilled. And Jesus had exactly, of course, what they needed. And Jesus would perform this miracle. I want to look first of all at the feeding of the people. The result of the miracle was that everybody was filled. We see that in John 6 and verse 12, when they were filled. So that's the result. That's the result of this miracle. Approximately 10,000 people filled. That is, they had taken all they wanted. They had taken all that they could. But they were filled. They were filled. Now, we want to apply this to, again, feeding upon the preached Word of God. Every time we assemble together, every one of God's people, we don't expect the unsaved, but every one of God's people ought to go away filled. As we'll see in a little bit, that's not enough. We should not be content with going away filled. But everyone should go away filled. So we want to see what led up to this. What led up to this result of the people being filled? Well, first of all, they were hungry. That's the first thing. They were hungry. The hour had far passed for the time to eat. The people were hungry. The apostles were concerned. They said their solution to the problem was send them away, send them home, that they can find themselves something to eat. So the first thing we want to notice is that the people were hungry. And in order to go away filled, we must come hungry. But then secondly, notice they sat down in orderly fashion. John chapter 6, verse 12, or verse 10, Jesus said, make the men sit down. Make everyone sit down. Make the men sit down. Then notice in Matthew chapter 14, Matthew 14 and verse 19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down. And then notice Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verses 39 and verse 40. And he commanded them to make to all sit down. And Mark records something that the others do not. By companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks or in groups of hundreds and fifties. So the people sat down. And they sat down in an orderly fashion. In groups of hundreds. In groups of fifties. Now can you imagine? As all these people are being seated, the apostles are directing them, making sure they're sitting in these groups, because this would make it easier to distribute the food. But can you imagine the sense of eagerness that the people had? Again, the reason they had followed Jesus to this place was because they had seen the miracles which he had done in their midst. And now as Jesus has them sit down, they're expecting something. They're all expecting something. They don't know what's going to happen. But they're expecting something. And they're expecting something great. And they're eager. So I picture this multitude of people. They're sitting in companies of 50s. They're sitting in companies of 100. And there's a sense of great eagerness and expectation among them. And they're sitting very orderly. One of the biggest hindrances in receiving what God has for us as far as the preached word is concerned is that many have never learned how to sit before the Lord. I'm not just talking about sitting in a pew and being quiet. I'm talking about knowing how to sit before the Lord. We need to know how to do that. If we're going to be filled with the preaching of God's word, we need to sit. It needs to be done in orderly fashion. Don't criticize order. Don't criticize order. God's not the author of confusion. And everything Jesus did, he did in an orderly manner. So here they are, they're sitting. We need to learn to sit before the Lord. Notice in 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7, speaking of sitting before the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 7, we want to read verse 18. Then went King David in, that is the house of the Lord, and sat before the Lord. Now you can read down through verse 22 and you get an idea of what transpired. But David sat before the Lord. And if you read verses 18 through 22, you get some idea of what it means to sit before the Lord. As David sat there, and again, we're not going to read these verses tonight for time's sake, but read verses 18 through 22. He had a vivid sense of God. Knowing how to sit before the Lord is first to have a vivid sense of who God is. And many times we come to the house of God, we sit, but we forget whose presence we sit in. And we do not have that vivid sense of the Lord. And it is in the minds of many today, it is the job of the preacher to create the presence of God. No one can do that. And it's not the job of the preacher to create the presence of God. What creates the presence of God is for each person to come and sit before the Lord. What causes us to feel the presence of God is when people come, they assemble together and they're ready. They're hungry. And they're sitting before the Lord. They have a sense of God. And as you read verses 18 through 22, we see also that David had a sense of his own unrighteousness. He had a sense of God. He had a sense of his own unrighteousness. And this is what we mean by knowing how to sit before the Lord. And as you read those verses in 2 Samuel 7, you see that David also had a heart that had been greatly affected by God. And that's how we need to sit before the Lord. We come, we realize that whose presence we are sitting in. As these people sat here in John chapter 6, they're lost individuals. But they're there because they've seen Jesus work miracles and they're expecting him to work another. And they had, no doubt, as they sat there, they had a sense of Jesus. We need that. We also need a sense of our own unworthiness. And we need to have a heart that has been affected by God. So he has the people are hungry. The people sit in an orderly fashion. So if we're going to receive the preached word, if we're going to be filled from the preached word, we have to come hungry. And again, it is not the preacher's job to create hunger. Can't do it. And they sat in orderly fashion, expecting something. And when we come to the house of God, we ought to expect to be fed. Thirdly, Jesus had food for the people. And it was the responsibility of the disciples to distribute it. Notice in verse 11 of John chapter 6, the food went from the hands of Christ to the hands of the apostles to the people. Then Jesus, verse 11, then Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. There were 5 loaves. There were 12 disciples. Jesus distributed the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down in an orderly fashion. In companies of hundreds, in companies of 50. Then notice in Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. The latter part of the verse says, he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Notice Mark chapter 6. The disciples did not literally put the food in the mouths of the people. In verse 41, and when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and brake the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set or to place before them. So the disciples went and they placed the food before this seated multitude. Notice Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 16. Latter part of the verse says, he gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they set the food before the multitude. And there was enough for everybody. There was enough for everybody. And every time we assemble, every single time, every time the word of God is preached, a table has been spread. And there is enough. There is enough for everybody. There is enough for everybody to be filled. But again, that's not enough. But there's more to it than that. But there is enough for everybody to be filled. Now also notice here in John 6 and verse 7. What was set before them was worth more than 200 days of wages. Notice verse 7. Philip answered Jesus, 200 pennyworth. A penny was the wage of the day. 200 pennyworth of bread. 200 days of wages, 55% of a year's wages, would not be sufficient for every one of them to take a little. Realize the value here of what Jesus had placed before these people. It was worth more than 200 days of wages. And when the word of God is preached, it's worth more than, I don't care how much you make it work. It's worth more. I don't care if you work Sunday and get quadruple time and a half. It's worth more. It's worth more. You cannot put an amount on this. And this is why this is important. When we come to hear the preached word, we need to realize what's before us. 200 days of wages for all of these people. Now, when the food is set before them, that provided them an opportunity. They now had the opportunity to eat. The disciples did not go and spoon feed them. The disciples put the food before them. It was their responsibility to eat it. It was their opportunity. It was their responsibility. So the food is set before them. Now they have to do something with it. And that's true. Every single time we assemble to worship, food is set before you. There's enough for everyone to go away full. Food is set before you, and now you have to do something with it. And we do something with it each and every time. Sometimes we do the right thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing. Sometimes we eat it, we receive it. We receive the nutrients. Other times we push it away. I don't want that. I don't want it. And we push it away. But once the food is set before you, you have to do something with it. And that is between you and the Lord. Notice in Matthew 14, verse 20, and they did all eat and were filled. They did all eat and were filled. The food is set before them. Now, food being set before you and eating is not one and the same thing. You can set food before somebody, but that's not the same as them eating it. The food is set before them. and they did eat, and they were full. Now we see that Mark, in Mark 6, verse 43, and Luke chapter 9, verse 17, they all say the same thing. They did all eat and were filled. So the way to be filled is to eat. The way to be filled is to eat. Now don't blame it on anyone else if you didn't eat. The way to be full is to eat. So being filled was the result of eating, which is the receiving of the Word of God. Every time the Word of God is preached, again, a table is spread, and there is enough for everybody. Food is set before you. You have to do something with it. You will do something with it. And if you're going to go away filled, you must eat. You have to eat. Now, that's receiving the Word of God. Now, did they all eat the same amount? Of course not. Some ate more. Some ate less. But the point is, they all went away filled. No one went away hungry. No one went away lacking. There was enough for everyone to eat, and there was enough for everyone to go away filled. Notice John 6, verse 11. They ate as much as they would. In other words, they could eat as much as they wanted. They could eat as much as they could. Because there are times when you may sit down to eat and you eat as much as you would, or as much as you could, but you would like to eat more, but you're full. And that's the way it ought to always be when we come to the house of God. So there was enough. There was enough for each to take as much as they wanted. The problem is some people don't want much. They just take a little nibble. They push it to the side. And then they have the audacity to say, that preacher doesn't feed us. Or you don't eat. Could be the problem also. And so each could take as much as they wanted. And they could take as much as they could. Sometimes I can take more than other times. That's true physically with food. That's true spiritually. There are some times we can't take in as much as at other times because we're filled. We're filled. But the result here was that they were filled. And every time we leave the house of God, we ought to go away filled. But that brings us to verses 12 and 13 of John chapter 6, and we have the fragments. We have the leftovers. And this is where I believe that almost all of God's people fail and fail miserably. There is a lesson here in these fragments. Notice the phrase there in verse 12, the fragments that remain. The fragments that remain. That's the unused portion. If you will, that's the leftovers. They were all filled, but there was plenty more. And that's true. When the Word of God is faithfully preached, There is enough food for everybody there. However many people are there, it doesn't matter. There's enough for everybody. And there'll be plenty left over. There will always be leftovers. What are you going to do with the leftovers? You've got to do something with them also. Not only do you have to do something with the food that is set before you, what are you going to do with the leftovers? Because I guarantee you, when a passage of Scripture is preached, not everything has been said that can be said in a church service. There's plenty left over. There's plenty more. When the Word of God is preached, there's more than you can take in for the moment. And I believe a lot of God's people fail here. Because I believe the mindset of a lot of God's people is, it's my responsibility to eat right now, and whatever I eat right now, that'll do me for the rest of the week. When you go to a restaurant and they give you three times the amount of food you need, do you leave it there? No, you take it home. And you eat off of it. And you eat off of it for a couple of days. Your whole family may eat off of it for a couple of days. You hear people say, oh, that restaurant's great. I went there, I went in, I was hungry, I came out full, and I also brought some home. That's how it ought to be with church. But most of the time, the leftovers are left behind. So, when the Word of God is preached, eat. Eat until you're full. Take in as much as you can. But when you hit that point where you are full, you're about to burst, you just can't take any more. Remember, there's more there. There's more to that meal. You haven't taken it all in. You weren't able to take it all in. You have not received it all. Notice in verse 13. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Notice which remained over and above. So what are the fragments? The fragments are the over and above. Over and above what fed almost 10,000 people. And what I'm saying tonight is there is always an over and above when it comes to the preached Word of God. When I say always, I mean when the Word of God is preached in truth. Now notice, Jesus gave instruction to the disciples concerning the fragments. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. Gather up the fragments that remain. Now some commentators will say that was the garbage. That was the bones. I disagree, because he could have left a lot of those things for the birds. But there was a reason Jesus said, gather up the fragments. That is, there's more to this meal than just right now. And that's true when the Word of God is preached. There's more to this meal than just right now. There are leftovers. There are fragments. And something has to be done with the fragments. Something has to be done with the leftovers. And again, this is the fault of many of God's people. They simply take in what they feel they need at the moment. But you've robbed yourself. Much is wasted. Notice Jesus said, take up the fragments that nothing be lost. That nothing be wasted. Which tells me we're not talking about garbage here. We're talking about food that can be eaten. He said, gather it up so it's not wasted.
how much is wasted. And I want to say it is wasted. There's a lot of waste. If everyone in the assembly gets filled, they go out filled, but that's all they eat, a tremendous amount of waste has taken place. Because what are you going to do with all the leftovers? You're just going to waste them? There's more to the message than what you received in that hour. There's more to it than that. So if we all got filled, and that very rarely happens, where all the saints of God come hungry, and where all the saints of God eat, and where all the saints of God go away filled, that doesn't happen very often. In fact, it's really pretty rare. Because a lot of times people are pushing it away. I don't want it. You go to someone's house and you sit down at a table. They've invited you for dinner and you push everything away. I don't want it. That's pretty rude. And this is far more rude than that. Because we're talking about God's food. We're talking about God's table. And people push it away. But let's say we have the perfect scenario when everybody comes hungry. Everybody gets filled. They all go home. And you think about it, these approximately 10,000 people, they obviously were content to leave the fragments. We don't see these people gathering up the fragments and taking them back to the cities. If that was the case, the apostles wouldn't have had to go back and gather up the fragments. You see, they were content with eating what they ate at that moment. And that describes almost all of God's people. They are content to eat what is provided at that very moment. And when we do that, much is wasted. Again, remember, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient. And may I say that there was more left over than they began with. And that's true every time the Word of God is preached. I don't care how much a preacher exhausts the Scripture and how much he digs out. There's always more left over than he's presented. Always. He can study 65 hours for one message and gather as much as he can possibly gather, and I promise you there's more left over than he can possibly feed you. We need to realize the value of the leftovers. Realize the value of the leftovers. We need to learn to eat and be filled. But then we need to learn that there's more, and we need to learn, again, what Jesus says is, gather up. And this is what we ought to do all through the week. We ought to be gathering up the fragments. To gather up, that implies work. That implies work on our part. Gather up the fragments that remain. Why? I believe for future use that nothing be lost. And I don't think it has ever really hit us how much is lost because we do not gather up the fragments. Notice they gathered up 12 basketfuls. Matthew chapter, what we see in verse 13, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above. This isn't garbage, folks. This is over and above unto them that had eaten. Filled 12 baskets. How many apostles were there? 12. Each one had a basket. Each one had a basket full of leftovers that they could eat on all through the week.
We need to bring our baskets. We ought to fill ourselves up, fill our souls up. But remember, there's that which is over and above that is left. Gather it all up. Put it in a basket. And eat on it. Feed on it. All week. You know why? And you could ask probably 99.9% of people, what was preached last Sunday? And they can't answer you right away. Some will never be able to answer you. But most will have to think about it long and hard. What does that prove? Does it prove they weren't listening? No, not necessarily. They might have listened very intently. Does it prove that they didn't receive anything? No, not at all. They may have received, they may have been filled, they may have been blessed. But I'll tell you what it does prove. They haven't been eating on it all week. Because had they been, they wouldn't have forgot. I mean, I eat the same thing every day. You can ask me what I had for dinner yesterday and I'd have to think about it. But if I eat the same thing 3 or 4 days in a row, I don't have to think about it. I know what I've eaten. And that's true spiritually. If we get fed from a passage of Scripture, during the morning service and evening service, during Sunday school, during the devotional, these are all opportunities. You have the devotional, you have Sunday school, you have a morning message, an evening message, and then Wednesday night. That's 5 meals. 5 meals where there is more than enough for everybody. In a 10-minute devotional, there's more than enough for everybody to be filled. We need to gather up the fragments. Eat, be filled, gather up the fragments. That is, what I'm saying is, whatever is preached upon, whatever is taught upon, take that home with you. Study it all week. How many times people say, I would study the Bible, I just don't, can you come up with a plan for me? I just don't know where to start. Here's a good place. Here's a good place. Whatever is preached, you study that all week long. You eat on that all week. You gather up the leftovers. And you eat upon it. And you feed upon it. Because I guarantee you there's more left than was ever presented. And that's what I mean by gathering up the fragments. Take tonight, John chapter 6. Study it. Study these verses. There's enough here to feed on all week. Feed upon it. But we are content. Most of us are content to take whatever we can for the moment, and that's it. By Sunday evening, most folks have forgotten what was preached Sunday morning. And by Wednesday, even more have forgotten. Again, I'm not saying that doesn't mean they didn't listen. I'm not saying it doesn't mean they didn't get filled. I'm saying is it, they didn't eat upon it. They didn't take it home with them. They didn't feed upon it all week long. And I believe we would grow spiritually if we would learn to take home the leftovers. And leftovers aren't a bad thing, because what's left over here wasn't even presented. So the preached word does a lot of things. You can preach a message. You can have 50 different people and 50 different people get something different out of it. What does that mean? It just goes to show you how the Lord feeds His people. I preach messages and people come up to me and say, I got this out of that message. I didn't get that when I was preaching it. But that's not what matters. The Lord gave you what you needed at that moment. But that's not enough. Because there's more. There's more. Gather up the fragments. Again, the preached word of God sometimes gives great encouragement. Sometimes it can discourage us. It can give strength. It can give comfort. It can give healing. It can give reviving. It can convict us of sin. It can give us guidance. It can give us direction. It protects us. It warns us. It gives us hope. It gives us assurance. It helps us. It illuminates us. Now, if any meal can do that for you, and there's something left over, you'd be wise to take it home and eat it and feed upon it. So I challenge you, whatever, when a message is preached, whoever it is that is preaching here, eat and be filled. But don't be satisfied with that. Say, Brother so-and-so preached from such and such a chapter. I'm going to go home at least to Wednesday. He preached such and such on Sunday, at least through Wednesday. I'm going to go home and I'm going to read that for myself and I'm going to feed upon that. And then when something's presented Wednesday, you have a few days to feed on that. And you can't feed on it all. When you bring in devotional, Sunday school lessons, morning message, evening message, Wednesday night, you can't eat that much. You can't do it. But we ought to want to try. We ought to want to eat as much as we possibly can. This is what will make us strong. Don't just be content to eat for the moment. People say, oh, the message was, there was so much there, it was more than I could take in. And that's almost a criticism. Isn't that funny? You go to a restaurant and they give you more than you can eat. You don't criticize that. You take it home. So when the preacher gives you more than you can eat, that ought to thrill your heart. You've got something to take home that you can eat on all week. Not only you, but your whole family. And you can tell others. You can tell others. And then they can feed upon it as well. So let us bring home basketfuls of leftovers. Brother Jim, you come and lead us.